All right, ladies, hello. Today is March 26, 2020, and I am telling you that just for the record, if you happen upon this teaching later on, that you would know why this is so different. We're in the middle of the coronavirus, COVID-19 episode, and at this first teaching, it will be viewed from home. So, but ladies, I want you to know that we will not stop meeting together in whatever capacity we need to do it. So if we are going to do it via video, via Zoom, virtually, we will continue to do it. We want to stay connected, and I want to encourage you to stay connected. We are committed to finish this Bible study all the way through to April 30th, even if we have to record ourselves on our laptops at home, we will do that. And we will continue to meet in our small groups through Zoom, and we will continue to study Hebrews 11, and we will continue
on this journey together by faith. So we need each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to love one another. We need to pray for one another during this time. I find it very timely that right now we are studying faith. And we need to live by faith all the time, every single day. But now even more do we need to be mindful of living by faith. And this week in our study, by faith, we are going to look at three men. We're going to look at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. We're going to look at the son of Abraham, who is Isaac, and his son Jacob, and Jacob's son Joseph. So let's go in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. You know, it is very interesting that we see each of these men at the end of their life. And old. They're not just at the end of their life, they're old. A couple of them can't see well. But we know that they are at the end of their life. They are dying. And at first glance, when we look at these acts of faith that are recorded here in Hebrews 11, they're kind of boring. Actually, they're really boring. When I look at the verses just in their context, just as the words that are said, I don't see any practical application as I read these verses. I mean, how can I emulate blessing Jacob and Esau concerning things to come? And then there's the example of Jacob. Well, sure, worship. We can by faith worship as Jacob did at the end of his life. But what kind of faith does it take to bless the grandkids? Because I don't know about you, if you have grandkids, I bless my grandkids constantly, and I'm happy to do so. So where is the faith in that? And then there's Joseph. Okay, by faith am I to give instructions concerning my bones when I'm old and dying? How do I live out that example? In this amazing chronicle of faith, of all of these men and women that we are looking at and what they did by faith, you would expect it to read, by faith, Isaac willingly went with his father Abraham to Mount Moriah, and he willingly laid himself on the altar. By faith, Jacob. Well, we'll get back to that because it's kind of hard to think of some of the things that Jacob in his life did by faith. But by faith, Joseph endured persecution from his family. He was sold into slavery. He was accused of rape. He was thrown in prison. He was forgotten. And in all of that, he gave glory to God. But no, those aren't the things that are recorded here in Hebrews 11. Just three old and dying guys giving some blessings and some instructions. What can we learn from this? You know what we learn? We learn that they believed the promises of God to be true by faith. And we also learn that by faith, these three men finished well. Just as Paul finished well, and he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. These men finished well. And by faith, we too, ladies, we must believe the promises of God to be true so that we can finish well. But also so that during a time such as this that we can endure well, that we can live by faith daily and hourly. In verse 20, it starts with Isaac. by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And we could take all the time, we could take all day today and go over each one of the accounts of these men and what they did in their lives. But we want to be specific to maintain studying what they did by faith and what was attributed to them in Hebrews chapter 11. So we are going to look at what is said here and just glimpse at the story of what took place in order for this to be recorded here. I hope that you all finished your homework. I know many of you had a few extra hours at home this last week, and I hope you were able to finish your homework, because that is where you were led to go and look at the accounts of each of these men. But in your homework, you read the account of Isaac, and you read the account of him blessing his sons. If you go back a chapter or two to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 23, we see that the Lord tells Isaac's wife, Rebecca, while she was pregnant with the twins, Jacob and Esau. And he tells her in Genesis 25, 23, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. From the very beginning, from their conception, it had been established that Esau would serve Jacob, that the blessing God gave Abraham and Isaac would be for Jacob and not for Esau. And Isaac knew this. Now we know what happened. And part of why this happened was that both parents made the terrible mistake of having favorites. They each had a favorite child. In Genesis 25, 28, it tells us that Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So, in this time that is referred in Hebrews chapter 11, Isaac tells Esau to go and hunt, to make him some of his favorite stew, and when he came back, he would bless him. But Isaac's love for his son seemed to have always been driven by his stomach. So while Esau is off hunting, Rebekah comes up with a plan to deceive her husband so that Jacob would get the blessing. Rebekah was a horrible example to her son, because Jacob became the ultimate deceiver. The name Jacob means trickster, but the trickster at this time was his mother, Rebekah. And with the help of his conniving mom, Jacob tricks his father, and he receives the blessing. Now, this was the blessing that was always intended for him by God, but Isaac seemed to want to do his own thing and thwart it a little bit and allow that blessing to go to Esau. But the blessing was intended by God for Jacob. But it is never right to cheat in order to accomplish what was intended. Never. We should never look to Rebekah and Jacob as the example of accomplishing God's purposes. But it's amazing that God's sovereignty is always able to incorporate even our own sin into his perfect plan to accomplish his perfect purposes. We know when Esau returns from hunting and preparing the stew that Isaac realizes that he was betrayed. But even when he realizes this, he does not renege on his blessing to Jacob. He knew that he had been wrong trying to circumvent the plans of God and to tweak them to his own liking. Isaac's faith is what recognized his own error and allowed the blessing he desired for Esau to remain with Jacob. I read this last week in studying for this and preparing that sometimes the deepest faith a man has in God is seen in his attitude toward his own wrongdoing. And we do see this in Isaac. The blessing that was bestowed upon Jacob was significant. It showed Isaac's faith in the promise God had given his own father, Abraham. By faith, Isaac blessed his sons concerning things to come. By faith, Isaac believed in the promise God gave his family. In Hebrews 11, 21, it goes on, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. If you do not know the history of Jacob, I encourage you to go to Genesis and begin at Genesis 25, which is when he was born, and all the way through to almost the very end of the book of Genesis, chapter 29, where he dies, and learn of the amazing story of Jacob. He is an amazing character, and he was a character. It is interesting that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, and Abraham had one son, Isaac, and that son only had two sons, Esau and Jacob. But Jacob had 12 sons, and it was Jacob who was given the name Israel. And from his many sons came the great nation of Israel that God had promised. But Jacob was a restless man. He was a man of ceaseless activity. He was manipulative. He was conniving. And as a result, he was often manipulated and connived as well, mostly by his father-in-law. In Scripture, we see that God appeared to Abraham, his grandfather, 7 times. And each time he came before Abraham, he presented Abraham with a new venture of faith. And each time, Abraham obeyed. God appeared to Jacob 5 times in Scripture, and each time God appeared to Jacob, it was to correct him. Let's go in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 48, verse 12. Genesis 48, verse 12. So Joseph brought them, speaking of his children, beside his knees, Jacob's knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand, Israel is Jacob, and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. As Jacob blessed Joseph and his 2 grandsons, it was as if he looked back at God's redemption in his life. Jacob had failed many times, over and over again, and many times God had redeemed him. It is also very interesting to note that he crossed his hands and he blessed the younger son as the older. And we see again here in Scripture, in the blessing of his grandboys, we see an interruption in the normal process of passing on blessings. It would have been normal to bless the older first with the more profound blessing. But just as Jacob, the younger brother, received the blessing of the older brother, so did Ephraim receive the blessing that should have gone to Manasseh, just like it was with Ishmael, the firstborn, and Isaac, the secondborn. As Jacob crossed his hands, could this have just been a slight foreseeing into the future of the cross of Jesus, the cross that can set aside our first birth and give us a second one? We see Jacob's posture and attitude mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 21. He worshiped God while leaning on his staff. He worshiped the God who had been patient with him his entire life, who had given him second chance over and over again. In Genesis 48, 21, it says, then Israel, Jacob, said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Jacob, like his father Isaac, believed the promise. At the time of his death, they were in Egypt. They were not in Canaan. They were not in the promised land. But Jacob believed God's promises to be true, that his people would return to the promised land. And when he blessed his grandsons, it was because, by faith, he believed in God's promises. Jacob, regardless of all the failure in his life, he finished well. And then finally, in Hebrews 11, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Bones! I mean, what do they have to do with anything at all? How can we today, as women, relate to this? How can we have this kind of faith? How can we have this kind of faith that Joseph had? Joseph was an amazing man of faith. And there are so many things that could have been attributed to him in this passage, but they are not. Just his instructions regarding his bones after he died. Joseph was one of the younger sons of Jacob, and he was also Jacob's favorite son. If you do not know Joseph's history, I also encourage you to read Genesis 37 to the end to learn about Joseph. But Joseph's brothers despised him, mostly because he was the favorite of their father. They despised him. They sold him into slavery, and then they told his father that he was dead. He ends up in Egypt. Joseph becomes an overseer of an officer's home, and the officer's wife tempts him into sexual temptation. But Joseph says, as he flees from her, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" This landed him in prison. Eventually, the king's butcher and baker ended up in prison with Joseph. They had dreams that Joseph was able to interpret, and he said to them, "Do not the interpretations belong to God?" Later, he was brought before Pharaoh, also to interpret dreams. And Joseph said, "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He said, "It is not in me, it is in God." When Joseph's brothers eventually found him in Egypt after the famine that was in the land, many, many years later, rather than chastise his brothers for what they had done to him, he says to them, "God hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God did send me before you to preserve life, and it was not you who sent me hither, but God." His entire life was one of faith. He always gave glory to God, even when in dire circumstances, even when nothing was fair. He was in slavery. He was in prison. He was away from his family and his home, but he always gave God the glory. The commandment concerning his bones was parallel with the faith that he exhibited all through his life. By faith, he gave these instructions concerning his bones because he also, like his father before him and his grandfather before him, he also believed God's promises. In Genesis 15:13, God said to Abraham, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. God foretold that his sons and grandsons would end up in a foreign land and that they would become slaves there. And Joseph saw his family come to Egypt and end up there, and they were put into slavery. Joseph saw this come to pass, but he believed the promise that they would return. In Genesis 50:24, at the end of his life, "And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.'" Joseph's dying request was a testimony of faith that what God had promised, he would indeed bring to pass. And he did. Exodus 13:18-19, you would have looked this up in your homework to see how this all ends up. "So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you.'" Joseph always knew where he belonged. And he always knew with whom he belonged. He didn't belong in Egypt. He didn't belong with the Egyptians. He belonged in the promised land with his people, with God's people. He had faith for the future. And just as Joseph knew where he belonged, we know where we belong to. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Our citizenship is not here. It is in heaven, and we need to eagerly await that. We need to long for it. We need to set our hopes in that. It was by faith that Isaac and Jacob and Joseph did what they did. It was by faith they believed in the promises given to their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Abraham. The Lord promised Abraham to give him, he promised him, the land of Canaan. He promised that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky. The Lord continued his promise from Abraham to Isaac, and he told Isaac in Genesis 26, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, Abraham kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You know, as we have been studying Hebrews 11, we always go back to the first verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've looked at this each week in the Living Translation, the New Living Translation, where it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph had the confidence that what God had promised them would actually happen. They had the assurance that even though they could not see into the future, it was still true. By faith, they believed the promises of God. By faith, they knew that their future was secure. And ladies, you and I are in an incredible time of uncertainty. Our future, our very near future, does not seem very secure. But the testimony of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph begs us to ask, is our faith strong enough to believe the promises of God even while standing in the face of adversity? Is it strong enough? We need to ask ourselves this. Is our faith strong enough right now when we don't know what tomorrow holds? All we know is that tomorrow will not be what we thought it would be 3 weeks ago. Is our faith solid? Do you believe God's promises? There's nothing about today that is normal. For me, right now, today is Wednesday. It is not Thursday morning. It is not Thursday evening. It is midday on Wednesday, and I am standing in front of an empty room. Well, except for our trusty cameraman there in the back. But I'm standing in an empty room. I'm looking at empty chairs. Your faces aren't here. You are not here. You can see my face. I cannot see yours. And I'll be honest with you, ladies, there's something very unsettling about it. Very uncertain. Very surreal. And over these past days and this last week or so, my feminine brain, it wants to constantly conjure up thoughts of fear, thoughts of the what ifs and the hows. It wants to kind of camp out on the uncertainties. But that's not God's desire for me, because I have a God who promises never to leave me or forsake me. God's promises are true, and if we are not standing on them today by faith, then we need to look to our cloud of witnesses. We need to look to the scriptures, and we need to stand firm. As Sarah counted God faithful to keep his promises, we must too. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I simply want to look, as we conclude here today, at several verses on God's promises. I want you to write these down. I want you to meditate on them. They're either going to come up on the screen as I say them, or you're going to be sent an email with a list of these verses, so you will have them. But write them down. Meditate on them. Hide them in your heart. Bring them to memory when fear starts to set in, when the uncertainty seems so overwhelming that you can't bring those thoughts in. Go back to these scriptures. Go back to these places of promise. Our first one is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Girls, the Lord is with us and will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us now. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. This is a promise if we wait on the Lord. And these past few days, as I've spent more time in prayer, and I've spent a specific time in prayer waiting, what that actually means is it has become a place of surrender, where I sit before the Lord and I say, I am going to wait on you, Lord, for all of those things that are troubling me. Whether it's I'm going to wait on you, Lord, knowing that you are going to provide my daughter her job back, or that you are going to bring my daughter, who is in New Zealand with her husband, home safely, as all the borders are shutting. I'm going to wait on you, Lord, for a cure. I'm going to wait on you, Lord, for the uncertainty of finances. I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to trust on you. I'm going to surrender my fears and my worries and concern, and I trust that you, Lord, will allow me to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint, even in this time. A verse we should always return to is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is our ultimate hope, girls, that we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. We look to our eternity. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Have we not been commanded to be strong and of good courage, to not be afraid, to not be dismayed? For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go, even in quarantine. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, verse 4. Be comforted. Be comforted knowing that God is with you. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, whether it's isolation or pestilence, or it's sickness or illness or disease, financial insecurity, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, which is Jesus, which is heaven, which is our eternal life, which will be revealed in us. We need to hope for the future, as Isaac and Joseph and Jacob did. Hope for the future, hope for eternity with Jesus. And our next verse is a very practical verse. It is one that we need to read, that we need to know, and that we need to do. We are to be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you are anxious, remember this verse, we're to be anxious for nothing. We're to be anxious not for our financial insecurities or our time of isolation or what the heck we're going to do with our kids for the next 2 weeks, all day long with libraries and parks closed. We're to be anxious not for a disease that is unknown to us, that is novel, that is new. We are not to be anxious about the economic situation of our country. We are not. We are to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, we are to pray. And we're to let our requests be known to God. And we are to do that with thanksgiving. Be thankful. If you're healthy, be thankful for that. Be thankful for your future, for the eternity that you have in Him. Be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for your home. Be thankful for technology that has allowed us to stay connected with one another. And then you will be able to rest in the result that comes with this obedience. that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, because we know is what we see on the news. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know what the outcome is going to be, which surpasses all understanding. We do know that our hope is eternal. We do know that God will never leave us or forsake us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our pastor encouraged us with this verse last Sunday. If my people, that is you and me, who are called by my name, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. As you meditate on these promises that we have just gone over together, I want to encourage you to spend time in God's Word these next weeks looking for more. I didn't give you all the promises in God's Word. There's so many. Spend time in God's Word looking for more. And do what it tells us in 2 Chronicles 7. Pray. Our pastor encouraged us that if we as a body could be praying throughout the day, if we would be willing to go and to sign up to pray for 1 hour each day, imagine that the impact that would have on our community and our state and our land. And imagine what it would do in your own heart as you surrender those fears and uncertainties to the Lord. You can go on our website, right on the main page, and you can sign up to pray for 1 hour. I believe we have close to 200 people in our body who have committed to do so. All the hours are filled. I know Dave started at the very beginning with the hours 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. And I was so hopeful. Oh, Lord, please don't let him ask me to join him. And he didn't. And I was willing, if those spots did not get filled, that I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would pray for an hour. And all of those spots got filled. It was incredible. It was like after the first or second day, the times from 9 a.m. to noon were the ones that were open. And I realize that now because I took from 9 to 10 and I realized there's just so many opportunities for distraction during that time. But for 1 hour, and ladies, I will admit it's been difficult because my mind wants to wander. An hour in prayer is daunting and it's absolutely wonderful. I wrote out 12 things that I wanted to give about 5 minutes each to. And they include prayer, praying for my church, praying for my family, praying for my extended family, praying for those who aren't saved, praying for our nation, praying for our nation's leaders, praying for a cure. It involves time of confession and waiting and surrendering. It ends with praise and worship as it begins. There is time spent in the Psalms where I pray through that and give that to the Lord. So I want to encourage you, ladies, if you haven't listened to last Sunday's message, do so. If you haven't signed up to pray for an hour each day, do so. The time will go like that, and it'll be amazing that when that time is over, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it has guarded my heart and my minds. And it will do the same through you. Commit to pray. It's powerful. As Isaac and Jacob and Joseph believed God's promises to be true, we must also. Let us commit to finish well. And what an interesting time it is to make this commitment to finish well. But let us make a commitment to finish well today, tomorrow, and at the end of our lives, just as they did, to live by faith in God's promises to the very end of our days. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all of these women who are tuning in. And Lord, I want to pray for each one of them. I know everybody's story and situation is different. Some may be in full homes. Some may be home with their kids when normally their children are at school right now. And it's just chaotic. Some may be completely isolated. Some may be bored. Whatever it is, Father, I know many of us are scared. And so we want to ask, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts about your promises. As we have these three great clouds of witnesses, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, who believed your promise to be true, that they would be a great nation and that they would return to the land that you had promised them and that the land would be theirs and it is still theirs today, Lord, that we would also believe your promise that you would never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, that we have the hope of eternity with you. So Lord, teach us your promises. Give us that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I want to lift up the time that these ladies are going to spend in their Zoom small groups. Lord, I pray that the technology would go smoothly. I pray that it would be a sweet time, Lord, that we can be connected, that we can encourage each other. We love you, Father, and we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.